get a calendar, honey. It's the 90s.
Elaine!
Oh, hey!
Yeah, these are my friends, Jerry and Elaine.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm Charmaine.
I'm Ethan.
Yeah, she's the costume designer, and he's the wig master for the show.
Are you staying with my friend George?
Right, George. I get the feeling he doesn't want me there.
No, he doesn't even want himself there.
Why don't you sit down and join us?
Oh, all right.
I can't. I've got to go meet a friend.
Well, what are we, dog meat?
Champagne, coolie, please. You have really beautiful hair.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much.
Have you ever thought about selling it? It would make a brilliant wig.
They make wigs out of human hair?
And pay plenty for them.
Okay, well, you guys are going to have fun here. So I'll see you later. Oh, I just remembered. I've got to get the dream coat from the dry cleaner.
Now, you're going to let me wear the other one, right?
Yeah, but you have to be very careful with it. It's my only backup.
Okay, who do you think you're talking to?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
And I'm Eric.
On today's episode, we welcome Kim Chase. Kim has appeared in a number of films and TV shows, including The Last Producer, It's All About You, Killing Obsession, Raven, and Days of Our Lives. But Seinfeld fans will always remember her for playing Charmaine in the classic season 7 episode, The Wig Master. And we're so glad she can join us today. Thank you for being with us, Kim.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Oh, well, the pleasure is ours to have you. We can't wait to talk to you about this episode. You did such a great job in it. So take us back to 1996. How did the role on Seinfeld first come about?
Oh, I'm so glad you remembered what year it was. I couldn't remember if it was 95 or 96. let's see. I had worked on Evening Shade, which was also on the Radford lot. And so... those years we'd see, you know, the whole cast of Seinfeld in the, you know, in the cafeteria or whatever around. Jerry would pull up in his Porsche, you know, his great, he had the great cars. So I auditioned for Seinfeld probably once Evening Shade ended, and then I did a spinoff, but it didn't go. But I think I auditioned for Seinfeld like 3 or 4 times. And they were always great. Like, the auditions were a blast. They were so much fun in there. And they let you have so much fun. You know, Jerry and Larry were just great that way. So I auditioned once for, like, one of Jason's girlfriends. And then, you know, one of Jerry's. And, you know, they'd throw it around. So this episode, I was supposed to be Kramer's girlfriend in this episode.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So... But this episode has a lot of stories around it. So apparently, which I don't think I don't know if I knew it at the time, but it was the second to last episode that Larry was writing on. And so it was very stressful. And then like a year later, he wrote about it. I think it was in the New York Times, an article all about how it was really stressful and difficult and trying to get the new writer, you know, all of that. So, pretty much every day was huge script changes, like the pink pages, the yellow pages, the purple pages, the blue pages. You never knew what page you were on. But a lot of that happened because there was also a very strange thing that was happening, that Michael Richards didn't show up. He didn't show up for like 4 or 5 days.
Wow. And,
yeah. So I was just sort of hanging out in the green room waiting to see what's happening, because all my scenes were with him. And we just had that one scene, which ends up in the show. But it was a very strange thing. So there was, I guess, rumors saying it was about contract negotiations. I don't know what it was. But anyway, he wasn't there. So it was tricky. So I guess it was probably day 4 or 5. And I'd hang out in the green room. And Jason Alexander was great. And Julia, they were wonderful. They were terrific. And we just sit around and, you know, I had nothing to do all day. So it was very weird. So then I guess there was like the 5th day. He still wasn't there. They decided to do a scene that was in the show. He was supposed to be in it, but they rewrote it. And it was me and the wig master. And then the guy comes in with the coat and tries it on, does the whole thing. Well, they didn't give me the new pages. They made a mistake. Oh. So we get in there and I'm on the green pages and today was the purple pages. So Larry flipped out and he was flipping out through the whole week. Like, there was a lot of, it was very, very, very tense. It was not a lot of friends who worked on the show, and they did not experience what I experienced. It was a super, super tense time. So he was freaking out and screaming. So they get me the new pages. We do the whole thing. Then I think we like take the weekend off and then come back and Michael Richards is there. I won't say anything bad, but I also won't say anything nice. So everybody was so fantastic, like to everybody, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. He was tricky. There was an actual incident in the green room where he was an odd paranoid thing. And Jason and I are talking about super mundane stuff. Like he just bought a new car and I was like, oh yeah, I just got this car and, you know, traffic in LA. Well, I drive from Silver Lake. And he's like, well, I drive from this place, you know, and it was that. And Michael Richards was like, I'm not telling you where I live. And he had a huge fit and stormed out of the green room. And it was like, nobody asked you. Like, we were talking about cars. And so very weird. The whole thing was very weird. And he was not nice to me. So that was very, very difficult. So by the time everything started to happen, the scene, like, I can't remember how the episode ends. Did it end with him in the dream coat walking down the street? Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't, is there a scene with him in the car with the dream coat? Ever driving in the car with the dream coat?
So not driving in the car. So there's like a scene where he's wearing the dream coat and everything and he's all dressed up and he looks like a pimp. That's the whole thing.
That was the thing.
Goes to the parking lot. Where the hookers are turning tricks and then gets into the altercation. But I don't think they ever actually show him driving. I don't think so.
Yeah. So the scenes that were supposed to happen was we were supposed to be in the car driving, you know, the pimp thing. And like it was supposed to end on that. There were like three other scenes that just never happened. It was a really strange. And the other thing was happening. It was one of those weird, crazy things in LA where the crazy rainstorms that go on for 2 weeks. So the episode just kept getting, I mean, we got paid for weeks, but, you know, just because they couldn't shoot outside because it was pouring rain. So there was a lot of that stuff that was happening. It was an experience, I got to say. It was tricky. So, and my character was actually named after their, and they do that. They did that a lot in the show, which was really sweet. Named after their costume designer. Her name was Charmaine.
Oh, yeah, we're going to ask you about that.
Yeah, so her name was Sharon. She was great, too. Everybody was lovely to me, but he was tricky. And they knew it. They were nice to me about it. But I, you know, I sort of was the fall guy. So I've never had an experience like that before or after in my professional career. It was really something. Wow. And when we shot that scene outside, Andy Ackerman, there was something that was happening in the beginning. I don't know if we ended up doing it. I can't remember. And he was directing me to do one thing. And when he walked away, Richards would say, I don't want you to do that. You're going to do this. And I was like, okay, I'm stuck in the middle. So I did what Andy wanted. And then he stopped and he was furious and stormed off and came back. And then they worked it out. But he basically, he just decided he didn't like me for some odd reason.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Every once in a while, we'll have a guest on that for whatever reason, Michael just didn't click with them or he was having an off day or something. And then we hear other things about Michael where he was wonderful and he would take the guests aside and rehearse with them one on one. So I think a lot of it just depended on which week you got him.
Yeah, I mean, because he hadn't shown up for a week. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, they were like, where is he? And no one knew where he was, I guess, for a week. And I think it was about his own negotiations or something. But then when he did get there, he had no interest in rehearsing. He was, you know, he just, yeah, he was, it was very strange. And there, it was tense between kind of everybody.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if anybody else seemed upset with Michael that week or if it was mostly Larry.
I'd say it was more him, you know, everybody else played it was really very calm. You know, they were kind of letting it kind of all move around. I guess they didn't want everybody to know what was happening, you know, trying to keep it sort of under wraps, whatever it was. So, but you could feel it. You could feel the tension. I mean, it was, you know, it was hard. They're trying, you know, I mean, they're trying to make the best show they can each episode. The show was fantastic, right? So they're trying to keep that up, and you have one of your stars not show up, and then the constant rewrites and the complications that way. So it was tricky.
Yeah, and you mentioned the rewrites. Do you remember like what your original story was? I know you said you were supposed to be Kramer's girlfriend, but do you remember any of the details?
I do. I mean, there were some really funny scenes. So, it was that, well, I guess we met, I can't remember how they threw in how we met or something, you know, and I'm the costume designer for the show. And so we're dating. So there's a scene with him. He comes to the show. So they had a backstage scene. That's when he first puts on the coat and he gets enamored with the coat. And, you know, they had that scene. They had, what else did we have? We had another scene with us. And then we had the scene in the car, you know, driving off and he's stolen the coat. You know, and I'm in on it with it. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. It was funny. It was very funny. It's too bad it got kind of muffled and you kind of lose that storyline a little bit.
Right. Well, I'm curious because going back to, you said you had auditioned for a bunch of other roles before you got the role in The Wigmaster. Do you remember specifically what those roles were?
Oh, gosh. The one I remember... It was one of the episodes with Jason. Oh gosh, the character's name was Donna, and it was something about, why do I remember, a Chinese restaurant? And this is so long ago. You guys know the show better than I do now, you know. So it was that character. I wish I could remember the other ones.
Donna Chang?
Yes, it was that one.
Oh, you auditioned for Donna Chang?
That one.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's a classic Seinfeld character.
Yeah, now that one, I know. Wish I'd gotten that job.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to make it so. You would have done a great job with that, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, so that one, because that one, like, probably shot about 4 months before this one did or something. So 6 months or something like that, yeah. It's a really funny one, yeah. I mean, everything they wrote was funny. Was, you know, good, so.
Oh, yeah. Right. And getting back to your episode, is there anything else you remember about filming that scene aside from what you already told us?
No, it was pretty straightforward. I mean, it really was. I mean, I think we only did two takes of it. You know, it was pretty straightforward. Like I said, the only thing in the beginning, there was something that was different that Michael got upset about. but, you know, Jerry was great. Everybody was great. Patrick was great. You know, it was what it was.
Well, you had that great line, you know, get a calendar, honey. It's the 90s. So do you remember, like, if that was always in the script? Did someone, like, suggest that line to you at the last minute?
You know, it was kind of written. Like I said, everything was kind of rewriting. I think that was, I think that was just that day kind of added.
Right. Did anything about the shooting like feel rushed at all because Michael was like away for a week?
Well, you know, for me what happened was I lost some scenes and then it got even worse because of the situation. I think for the rest of the cast it was tough. I mean, they had to, that whole week where I sat around and didn't watch them, you know. That was tricky. I mean, yes, it did feel rushed. It did feel tense, again, because, like, especially that the outdoor scenes, they couldn't shoot because of the rain. So I think they had to get those out, like the parking lot scenes and, you know, all of that. So definitely, I think there was an element of that, too.
Well, that leads right into our next question, actually. Where did you film that scene since you said it was, you know, raining so much and you couldn't do it outdoors?
Oh, yeah, it's on the lot and they set it up. It's almost right near where the actual real cafeteria is. And they set it up outside, right outside of the soundstage.
Oh, OK.
Yep. They do that a lot. Like the street scenes are right around there and all on CBS Radford's lot.
And what was actually in those champagne coolies?
I think they put, what did they put in it? It was some kind of like, they did like a... like a juice, but with ice, you know, frozen ice.
Right.
And they did like a slushy. It was like a slushy. Yeah. 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 Because they had the fruit on it and everything. Yeah. Yeah. It was like a slushy. Yeah.
And you mentioned that there was a lot of downtime on the set. So who would you say you spent the most time with?
Jason a lot. you know, sitting around in the green room. Yeah, and a little with Julia. She was very nice in the trailer, hair trailer and makeup trailer, and so she was super nice. And then the day we shot that scene, because there were some issues, she was really nice, sweet to me. Like, just
that's good.
She was like, it's okay, like that. You know, she knew it was chaotic and I was kind of caught in it. So she was just so sweet.
Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like your week on Seinfeld was a little hectic, and it's really not something that we're used to hearing on the show. But on the flip side of that, do you have a favorite memory from that experience?
Well, I mean, I was thrilled to be working on the show because, you know, especially then, you know, it was a show everybody you wanted to be on. If you did comedy, you wanted to be on the show. And I mean, you know, I loved Jerry. I just thought he was so funny. So, and he was super nice. So, I mean, everybody, it was a nice experience that way. It just too bad that like some of the other unfortunate things, but I mean, it was still, you know, still nice to be working on the show, you know, great creative group. And I did work with those writers on some other comedy shows later. So that was good. So, you know, yeah, it was really, I mean, it's a great experience, you know, and every actor has their one show, which was, you know, something happened, and that happens to be mine.
Well, there you go. What better show for it to happen on, honestly?
Right, honestly. And I said, I mean, like I said, it was 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, you know, so just hanging out there every day. So,
yeah, and they were in their prime, too, at that point. Like season 7 was roaring. So, you know, to be on all that time, they didn't care. The money was flowing. They didn't.
So that it's good. It was a lucrative job.
And I know you said you didn't want to get into too many specifics, but would you say most of the issues with Michael were on the set, off the set, or was it a little bit of both?
It was mostly actually, like, when he showed up, it was off the set. It was like in the green room. It was very, yeah, it was really weird. And for me, it was strange too, because at the time, I mean, I was in my 20s. I had probably been in LA for like 4 years. It was probably my 5th TV show. You know, I had done a pilot and it didn't go, but still, you know, it was so, and it, you know, I admired these people. So it was a very, like, you know, now I'd have a very different reaction to it, you know, like as a more seasoned person. But then it was a little like, it was so off-putting that I didn't even know how to respond. You know, it was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, what, you know, and Jason was actually like, don't do it. Just, it's all right. It's all right. You know? And like, that's all they would say. It's like, I'm like, okay. Yeah. The only time on set that he did it was, like I said, in that scene before it, I can't remember what Andy wanted me to do. And he was like, you're not doing that to me, you know, after Andy walks away. And it's like, I have to listen to the director. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little. So, you know, that was rough. And that's when he did. Something happened. I don't even remember. I just sat there and waited, and it was like, oof. But, you know, it's like I become the pariah on the set.
Yeah.
It's a really, it was a very humiliating feeling. I'll say that. It was, you know, like, wow. And unnecessary. Like, nothing happened for it to have happened.
Right. Well, I'm happy to hear that the other cast members supported you, and your scene still came out great regardless, so.
Thank you. That's sweet of you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, they're fun. They're, you know, it's great. Who doesn't want to work with them? So it was great.
It's amazing how all the issues that surrounded this episode, it still came out so amazing. I mean,
it's still a really funny episode. Yeah. I mean, they ended up changing a lot of what the writing was, and, you know, but it's still a really funny episode.
And it just goes to show how great Larry was as a showrunner, too, and how he was still able to put everything together, even though he was so exhausted by that point.
Yeah. And he wrote that about that. I remember when I read that like a year later, I was like, oh, OK, that's what was really happening. You know, because I think this was the second to last episode that he wrote. And he wrote that he was burnt out. He was totally burnt out. And he was, you know, really. So that's part of what was happening, too. That it was like, but it's still, they, you know, they knew how to put on a great show.
Yeah, they still pulled it off.
I mean, they're great at what they do.
Absolutely. And before we move on to our final segment, is there anything we didn't ask you or anything else you'd like to share with us from your time on Seinfeld?
No, I think that's probably all I have to throw into the bucket.
No, that was great. Thank you for sharing all that with us.
Process now.
All right, so before we let you go, we're just going to move on to our final segment. It's called This, That, and the Other. So basically, we just ask you a question, and the first thing that comes to mind, you let us know. So first question, what is your favorite film?
Oh, God. You know, every time you're asked that question, like, right, it usually is like the film you've seen most recently, because right. That's all that can come to your head at the time, right? So most recently, I'd have to say After Sun with Paul Mescal.
Oh, okay.
If I had to do a comedy, it would be Trainwreck, Amy Schumer. I'm a huge fan. I really loved recently The Holdovers.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I love that film.
Paul right Giamatti's now, great.
He's fantastic. So, yeah, that was a good film. That was a really good film.
Favorite band or musician?
Well, it's tricky. My husband is a musician, so I should say him. Dave LeBault. He's played with everybody from David Bowie to, you know. Wow. But like, who's my favorite, really? I listen to more like single artists than I listen to bands.
Name an artist, yeah.
Yeah. So recently I've been like totally jamming on Leon Russell.
Nice.
I'll do that.
There you go. That's a great answer.
What role or performance are you proudest of?
If it's film, it would be It's All About You. Really fun turn on a dime comedy thing that I co-wrote too, and so it's really fun. That would be my favorite. And for theater, I just did A View from the Bridge during the strike, so it was nice to be working during the strike, playing Beatrice, the Arthur Miller play, opposite Ray Abruzzo, who you know as Little Carmine from The Sopranos.
Oh, no kidding.
Make a podcast for that. I think he even has a sandwich named after him. So we just did that play, and I'm really proud of that. And we just we're up for a Drama Critics Circle Award for Best Revival. So, yeah, that's exciting. That was nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
The role you didn't get that you really wanted.
Oh, there's so many. Doesn't every actor say that?
Pretty much a lot of people we interview say that, or they say, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, I want to think about all the roles I didn't get. Like, you know, you sort of go through it, and it's like so depressing. Oh, my God. What did I really? Oh, I know which role. There's a TV show called Huff. And I really loved the show and the writing. And it was between me and an actress named Faith Prince, and she got the role. And that one depressed me for about 2 years. And they even took something I did in the test with Oliver Platt. They stole it. They took it. I watched it, and I went, because it wasn't in the script, and I added it, and they had her do it.
Of course. That's wrong.
So that one was a bummer. You know, when you get, it's also all the ones, I'm sure every actor said this to you, like, it when it's between the two of you, it's like, it's really like, oh, there's a lot of it.
Comes down to the wire. Yeah.
I used to have a friend who always used to do a joke where she'd be like, we'd be watching TV and she'd go, and we'd see something, some woman on it, you're doing this role, and she'd go, I auditioned for that. I didn't get it. You know?
Right.
That's sort of the running joke that actors do when you're watching TV.
Right.
I auditioned for that. I didn't get it. Yeah.
The actor you worked with who was the most different from the character he or she played?
Okay. Let's see. The most different. Well, then I'd have to say John Savage, because he was playing like a psychopathic murderer. He's a really sweet guy.
Right, yeah.
Like, he's just like, he's a really like mellow, laid back, like, you know, very, he played, you know, a lunatic. So I'd have to say that.
Yeah. Favorite story working on the set of a film or TV show?
Okay. Well, let's see. Favorite story. Well, there's one that's funny, but it's also like, but maybe I'll tell it. The person's okay, so I'll tell it.
Okay.
Okay, so and it's all about you. We hired an actor who I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. He played Horshack in Welcome Back, Kotter. So Horshack, you know, he would, like, in the show, I think he was known for, like, making noises, honking noises with his nose and, you know, whatever, right? So we hire him to play in the, and It's All About You is a sort of absurd take on Hollywood. So we hired him to play the journalist. But the day of filming, he was a mess, like, a mess. And we spent like 2 hours, 3 hours, the directors like, and the DP, they don't know what to do. So we all huddle in another room and wait. And the actress, who's a wonderful actress playing opposite him, Gigi Rice, she's like, what is happening? You know, what are we going to do? This is a nightmare. Cause he would start his lines and it was really quick comedy back and forth. And he'd start and then he just, his eyes would glaze over and he'd go, what is it? You know? And it was, you know, so we felt so bad for the guy, though. We decided to not just have him, like, say, you're fired. Meanwhile, we were getting an actor in the back learning the lines to do the role. And the DP and the first AC and the director and everybody got together and pretended we were filming.
Wow.
We told Gigi, and she was like, all right. So everybody was in on it. And then what was really funny is the first AC did something hilarious, which we almost like, we were like, you know, when you can't stop laughing, you're going to do spit takes. He stopped the fake filming saying, oh, wait, stop. There's a hair in the lens. And we were like, what the fuck? And then he did it just to make us laugh. Right. And so it was so, I don't even know how we got through it, but we did. And, you know, we never told him, the actor, ever. And he just, when he came to this, you know, screening, realized he wasn't in the movie anymore. And that scene was cut anyway. So, but that was one of my, that was one of the funniest things, to pretend you're filming. Just to save face to this guy, you know, we felt like, oh my God. But when our guy said, stop, there's a hair in the lens. It's like, we're not even filming. Pretending. So that was a lot of laughs, actually.
Oh man.
What's the best compliment you've ever received about one of your performances?
Oh, you know, it's like just now when I did A View from the Bridge, when people would, after the show, would, you know, when somebody says to you, I couldn't stop crying. I was so moved. I was, you know, when you know you affected somebody that way, or, you know, had them think about anything in their own lives and, you know, relate to it and feel something like that, then you've done your job.
Absolutely.
You know, and same with comedy. If you can, like, you know, evoke that, it's, you've done your job, and it's nice, you know, when somebody lets you know it, it's like, oh, good.
What's an interesting fact people might not know about you?
Oh, God. Interesting fact. I play classical piano.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a singer, too, but people know that. But people don't know that I play classical piano. So, yeah, I guess that. I don't know how interesting that is.
Oh, very interesting.
Who was your biggest influence growing up?
Oh, like an actress?
Yeah.
Or like Gina Rowlands? Really, really big one. Because I started singing when I was really young, and that's, I was in theater, and so I, you know, I loved like Barbra Streisand, you know, voices and that kind of performance really wowed me. Patti LuPone, huge influence. Huge influence. But Gina Rowlands, like even when I was really young, like a little girl watching those movies, I was just blown away by her.
Yeah.
And final thing, favorite moment of your career?
Oh, my gosh. Well, being on this podcast, you guys. well, there's so many. And there's still more to come, I think. But Seinfeld, of course, is one of them, right? I mean, it's an iconic show. It's a great show. So it's a highlight for anybody who's been on the show. Gosh, I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of different people. Highlight, I got to do a movie with Rod Steiger. Did a lot of movies with Burt Reynolds. Got to work with Dom DeLuise, Charles Nelson Reilly. Those were all highlights. Creatively, I think the play I just did was a huge highlight, doing Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge. Creatively, that was, you know, that's sort of why you join up as an actor, to get to sink your teeth into that kind of stuff. So that was great. But yeah, I guess those are them. And I hope I have many more to come.
Absolutely. Well, Kim, this was certainly a fascinating look at some of the behind-the-scenes details that went into making this episode, and we thank you so much for sharing it with us today.
Oh, sure. Thanks, you guys. It was fun. Fun to tell the story.
Oh, yeah. Now we'll watch this episode in, like, a whole new light. It's going to be so interesting to go back and watch it, and even though we've seen it 1,000 times, just so great. So thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fun, you guys.
Absolutely. All right, Kim. Take care. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us at theplacetobeseinfeld@gmail.com. You can also find our show on Facebook at The Place to Be, a Seinfeld podcast, Twitter at TPTBSeinfeld, and Instagram at theplacetobe.podcast. You can find our show on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like, please rate and review. It really helps us out. Until next time, be sure to hang up your pants for the perfect crease.
Oh, there's your champagne coolie. Well, looks like it's just you and me, cowboy.